You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, that it is your desire, that you are so good, Lord, in the way you teach things and the way you say things, Father, and you'll speak things and say things to us so that we can continue to get it and to grow in that, Father. But I pray right now, Lord, that every single person, Lord, that myself, Lord, and every single person here, Lord, that we would not lean on our understanding right now in this moment, in this time, in this service, that we're not here to lean on our understanding. We can't understand anything, and we've acknowledged that fact already, Lord. But we thank you, Father, we're not trying to analyze something, and we're not trying to think really hard about something, and we're not trying to meditate real hard on something. But Lord, what we're going to do is we're going to rely on your Spirit, Lord, to be the one to teach, because that's what he does. And we thank you, Lord, that it's because it's been given to us to understand. What the Spirit of God will do is that he'll draw it up. He'll draw it up, my Father. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to do that ourselves, that he will draw it up, Lord. And our part, Lord, what we're doing is that we have faith in you, Jesus. Faith, Lord, that you are the teacher, that you are the one that's on the inside of us, that it is you that will produce, Lord, that revelation, and you will give us that understanding. And we thank you, Father, that it will come from you, and that even that fruitfulness tonight, Lord, that fruitfulness, Lord, that fruitfulness, my God, of understanding, that fruitfulness, Lord, of revelation, that uncovering, Lord, that only you can do that. We can't uncover anything ourselves, but we thank you, Lord, that you're the one that uncovers, and you do that so well, Jesus. You do that so well, and we thank you for that. Hallelujah. All right. So let's jump into Ephesians chapter 5. So look at what he says in verse number 8. He says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light." And what we're going to see. What we're going to see when we go into verse number 13 a little bit later, what we're going to see is, and we've seen this maybe in past services, that light is what makes manifest, right? Right. So obviously we know that if there's darkness and light comes in, light makes manifest everything that's there, right? So if the Lord says you were sometimes darkness, but now he says, look at what he says, now you're light in the Lord. So we know that light is life. So we know that we have life on the inside of us. We know where the light, if he says that we are light in the Lord, we know where that light has come from. It's not coming from ourselves, right? It's coming from the power of God on the inside of us. It's coming from Christ in us. But when he says that we're light in the Lord, then it's cool to understand is that you are the one that God desires to manifest through. You're light in the Lord. And light is what makes manifest. So if God is calling you light, he's saying you are the one that makes manifest. Right? You're light in the Lord. You are the one through whom he makes manifest. So Christ is seen through you. Why? That's why you can be called light, because Christ is seen through you. So you are no longer darkness. And darkness, another thing that we'll see tonight is darkness, another way to look at that also is a fool. Foolishness is not knowing. Foolish is unwise. Darkness, right, is unwise. And light is wisdom. Light is wisdom, right? So he says, "For you are light in the Lord." You are light in the Lord. So the Lord makes manifest through us. So then he says, "So walk as children of light." Now here's the cool thing. So don't lose any of that, because all of those things have their application. So you could be thinking, you know, Lord, am I worthy for you to use? You know, because people get caught up in this thing. Am I worthy enough to be used by you, Lord? Have I done enough good? Do I know enough? All of these different things that, you know, we either qualify or disqualify ourselves in God using us. But if you know that you're light in the Lord, you know that that's the will of God for you. If you are called a child of the light, light is not to be hidden under a bushel, but light is to be placed, right, on display to be seen. So Christ is in you to be manifest through you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be called light. You would still be in darkness. But we know the will of God in and through us, the acceptable will of God is for fruitfulness. That's the acceptable will of God in our lives, is fruitfulness, to show that and prove that which is the will of God, which is acceptable unto Him, which is the fruitfulness of the Spirit of God on the inside of us. So He says, you're light in the Lord, but then He says, walk as children of light. So we also know that He said that light is knowing. Light is wisdom. If darkness is blindness, if darkness is blindness and blindness is not knowing, not having the ability to see, if you're children of the light like we are, then that means that we have the ability to see and we can see. So when He says walk as children of light, if you can see that, what is it that makes you think about? When you hear walk as children of light, you can see, okay, well Lord, you could be saying, Lord, that walk as children of light, what you're teaching me is that I ought to walk, right? I ought to walk showing Christ forth. But the thing is, you can't make that happen. Right? We can't say that what God is telling us here when He says walk as a child of the light is for you to walk making Christ be seen, because you can't produce that yourself. So that's not what He's saying, even though that is what happens. Children of the light show forth Christ because He is the light in you. You just can't make that happen. So when God is telling you to do something, He has to be telling you to do something within the context of what He's given you as a task to do, and we know what that is. So what He's saying here is, walk as a child of the light. If light is knowing and darkness is blindness, here's what He's really saying here, right? Walk as a child who knows. Walk as someone who knows. Walk as someone who knows, right? So, and that could be the application there could be to anything in your life, right? Miss Lindsay was up here praying about, you know, that we're not to focus on the fruitfulness, because if you are willing to bring something to pass, if you're willing to bring something to pass because of your eagerness and your desire to want to see that fruitfulness come, and you're willing to play it off as though you're being fruitful because you just can't wait anymore and you're going to make it happen yourself, I mean, obviously that's a lack of light, or we could say, right, or a lack of knowing. Because if you know that it's the Spirit of God that produces that fruitfulness in you, and the only care that you have in your life is to know the Lord, the knowledge of Christ. If you knew that and you were cemented on that, you wouldn't be trying to produce it yourself, right? But you would know that the fruitfulness belongs to the Holy Spirit, and only He can produce fruit. And you would say, and you would know, Lord, I'm the branch, you're the vine. A branch cannot produce fruit of itself. And you would know that from John 15, that a branch cannot produce fruitfulness of itself. So if you can't, why would you try to? If you can't, it's not that maybe you can do a halfway job of it, it's that you just can't. If you knew that truth, not that you heard it, not that you heard it preached somewhere, but if that you knew that truth, if you understood it, if you allowed the Spirit of God to reveal that to you, you wouldn't try to do what only He can do. So the cool thing is, when He says walk as children of light, is to walk as one that knows. Walk as one that knows, and the nice thing about what the Lord has been teaching us is that we do know. So the Lord's not asking you to pretend that you know. He's asking you to walk as someone that knows. Now, the interesting thing there is that you can't walk in what you don't know. Right? So even though you have knowledge, you have truth on the inside of you, you can't walk in that which has not been revealed to you. And that's why there's things that we do in our lives, like you know what, there are people that will refuse to believe that Jesus Christ is their healer. Now the knowledge of the truth that Christ is their healer, the person could be born again, loving God, and that truth is in them. But because they don't acknowledge that, and they don't look at that, and they don't receive revelation in that matter, they live in certain areas of their life as if they don't know, right? As if they didn't have that truth. But the cool thing here is that the Lord is teaching you constantly, you wanting to grow in the knowledge of what He's done for you, so that the grace of God that is in you can be multiplied unto you, right? Because that's the intent in Him wanting to teach you, right? He wants the grace of God on the inside of you to be multiplied, right, towards you, right? Grace and peace are multiplied unto you in the knowledge of Him, so that can happen. So that He can be fruitful on the inside of you, and so that He can work. So stay with me. So He says, walk as children of light. Walk as children that know. Walk as children that know. And the only way to walk as children that know is to make your business knowing Him, right? It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anything of what the Lord's called us to do, but it does make good application to how it happens, right? How does it play out? Well, knowing Him is how it happens, right? I mean, we've heard it so many times, but maybe we sometimes don't think of it that way. If the only way for us to be fruitful is to know Him, right? Fruitfulness, the fruitfulness of the Spirit of God is the action that you want to see occur. The same fruitfulness you want to see is the same fruitfulness He wants to show you, that He through you. It's just a matter of, right, walking as a child of the light, which is walking as one that knows. So look at verse number 9. And it's funny, right? We're talking about so much about fruit, and he's talking about light, and light is knowing, and because in verse number 9 he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is, it's in all goodness and righteousness, and the righteousness that we have is his, and truth. And then he says in verse number 10 that through that way, by the fruit of the Spirit, by him being the one that's doing it through you, you prove that way what is acceptable to God, right? And actually, so let's do this. Looking at verse number 8, and it's easier to see in my Bible because I drew a circle around the word light in verse number 8, and I drew a little circle around the word fruit, and I put a little pencil mark that went from fruit to light, right? Because fruit comes from light, right? So obviously just goes all the way back to knowing Jesus, right? Goes all the way back to knowing Jesus. So look at verse number 11. And have no fellowship, look at what it says, with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, here's what you could think that means on the surface. Don't hang out with people that do bad stuff, right? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't hang out with people that do bad things. The only thing is that that's not entirely really what that's saying, right? Because if we understand that light is knowing, and darkness is not knowing, if that light is wisdom, and that darkness is not knowing, unwise, right? Foolishness, right? So have no fellowship with unfruitful works of how you lived. Sometimes, he said, sometimes you used to be darkness, he said. You used to be, what does that mean? You used to not know. Right? He's not saying you used to be bad and now you're good. He said you used to not know and now you know. You used to be darkness and now you are light. Right? So what he's saying is have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. What kind of works are done in darkness? There are things that, in other words, it's not walking as a child of the light. It's not walking as one that knows. It's walking as one that does not know. So when we walk around like we don't know, right, we're going to be unfruitful. When we walk around like someone who doesn't know, we're going to be unfruitful. Why? Because you're going to walk around like you're unsure. So you look at a situation in your life, and you do know, and you have the truth. If you know that you have the wisdom of God on the inside of you, then you won't lean on your own understanding, but you'll be faced with a situation, and you say, Lord, you know. Lord, you know. He knows. He is your wisdom, right? We're not our own wisdom. He's your wisdom. So when he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, that means that things that are done, right, as people who don't know, those works are unfruitful. In other words, unfruitful works of darkness, to really cut down to it, is just the flesh, right? Miss Lindsay was praying, and she was saying that we don't. So the fruitful work would be for the Spirit of God to be fruitful in that area of your life. So God has showed you that this is going to happen in your life, but you're tired of waiting. So you're gonna try to have an Ishmael. So Abraham and Ishmael and the maid, that's unfruitful works of darkness. Abraham was acting as a man that didn't know, but yet he knew. So that's darkness. That's not that you're darkness. It's just that you're walking like somebody who doesn't know and you do know, right? Because if he would have just thought for a second and not just jumped on the chance to sleep with his maid, he would have seen God has told me that this is going to happen. Therefore, I'll put my trust in the Lord, and that's where my heart is. And I don't have to bring it to pass. God will do it. God will bring it to pass, right? So have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness is basically just the flesh. And the cool thing is in verse number 11, I drew a little circle around that and I brought it up to verse number 8 because that's what we were. When the Lord says have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, he's not talking about who you are today. He's telling you don't act like you used to be. Don't take part in fellowship with things that are of the old man. You used to be darkness. You're not darkness now. You used to be darkness. You used to not know. You used to be blindness. You used to be foolish, you used to be unwise. Today you're holy, you're blameless, you're light in the Lord, right? And you have the mind of Christ and you know. And you know. And you know. And I know sometimes we answer just like the disciples said, and we say, Lord, but we don't know. We don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. And he said, yes, you do know. You do know, right? You do know. Just sometimes we act like we don't know, but we do know. So he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove. And the interesting thing there is, you see how that's italicized, right? The them. Right? And that's because what the translators are trying to do there is to say that when you see works of darkness, you see somebody doing something wrong, correct them. But that's not talking about them. That's talking about you, right? It's saying you have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness because you used to be darkness and you're not now. So reprove it. In other words, what are you correcting? The thought. The thought. Correct the thought. Correct the thought with truth. See, every time light is truth, right? And every time that light, right, that you allow the Spirit of God to show you something, it brings, it manifests that which is incorrect. Right? So the Lord shows you something, He corrects your thinking, and you're obviously, it's not like you're sitting around waiting and asking God to correct you, right? But the Lord, in His love, He takes and He shows you something, and when you see that, you're like, oh wow, I was thinking wrong right there in that. I was thinking wrong in the situation, I was just looking at it all wrong. I was looking at it the old way, and not the way I know now, right? So what He says is, He said, rather reprove. Reprove it. Reprove the thought. Reprove that which is making you act like you used to be, because where it really starts is in your thinking. Right? So the correcting in your heart, the Word of God, where that says reprove there, in 2 Timothy 3:16, that's what He says the Word of God is good for. Right? For correction and for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, right? Which is, righteousness is how He said here in verse number 9, that's where the fruit of the Spirit is. It's in all righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit is in all righteousness. So He corrects our heart to bring us, what the Bible says, to the paths of righteousness, right? For His name's sake, so we can see. Because, right, and I shouldn't say so we can see, it says so we do see. Right? So that we do see. Because we already can see. So He says, so have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove or correct it, right? Rather reprove or correct it. And the cool thing about that reprove, if you think about in Romans chapter 12, when He says that we would renew our mind, right? But that we would renew our mind by the Word of God, right? That for the renewing of our mind, that we would be transformed by the renewal of our mind, that's where that correction is happening. But when your mind is renewed, it's being corrected. When your mind is renewed, it's being corrected, and that correction is a good thing. Always happening in our mind, out with the old junk and in with the truth, right? And in with the truth, it's in you, it just has to be in there, right? It's good for it to come up here. It's good for it to come up here. So, but rather reprove. So, we're going to stay right here, but let me just show you something, just to remind you, because, you know, when I see, you know, it's such an evident thing to see what He's doing, because you see, again, and I know I've said it so many times, but you see the things that He's teaching and why He's teaching you because of where you're going, right? He had us in John chapter 1, and all John chapter 1 is all about light, that He is the light. And John chapter 1 is all about the fact that there is no darkness in Him, and that light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot see it, cannot comprehend it. And then He was saying that in verse number 10 of John chapter 1, and we don't have to go there, we can stay here, I'll just read this, but He says that He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not, but that we know Him. So all of these things that He's talking about, light here, is all about knowing Him, that we have the ability to know Him, that we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, that we have all these things, that the knowing, we possess it already. We have the wisdom of God, so therefore that we can know. It's been given to us. Again, remember that, right? From Matthew chapter 13, that it's been given to us to know. So because it's been given to you to know, right, it is just simply a use and an exercising, right, of a grace gift, you can say, right? A gift that the Spirit of God has already given us. It's just making use of it. Just using what you have. Just using what you have. It's not trying to conjure up something. It's just using what you have. It's been given to you. Thank you, Jesus, for giving it to me. I'm going to use it now. You've given it to me to understand, so I'm going to understand. And I'm going to know, right? You can know. And it's such a good thing. So when He calls you light, you see, you're telling me, Lord, if you call me light, you're telling me that I do manifest you, that I can manifest you, that I will manifest you, right? All of those things He's saying by telling you that you are light in the Lord. You do, and you will manifest the glory of God, right? And because you do that, right? Because you do that, when God says, you know, that He calls you to greatness, right? All that He's saying to that is, when God says, I've called you to greatness, He's called you to show forth the greatness on the inside of you. That's all he's saying. He's not trying to, you know, get you all worked up in yourself and to think that you're the greatest thing ever. It's just that he is great in you. Greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. So Christians should show forth the greatness of God, right? Because he is great. And he should be known that way, right? But the good thing is that he doesn't get us focused on making that happen. But he just gets us focused on him because that's how he brings it to pass himself, right? Greatness can only come from him. Greatness can only come from him. So thank God that the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, right? And it's the goodness of God, not our own. So that's all good. Can you take us real quick to John chapter 8 and verse number 12, just so we can see one more thing there. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. We haven't seen this verse, but it's a good one. Look at what it says. And then Jesus, he spake unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Right? Shall have the light of life. Look at it again. It is, I am the light of the world. So he says, I am that light, right? I'm the light. I'm that light from Genesis, and I'm still that light now, right? I was the light through whom all things were created by and for, and I'm still that same light. I haven't changed. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the light. Always been the light. John, when John 1 is talking about it, he is that light. And right here in John 8, he's still that same light, right? And he says, I'm the light of the world, and he that followeth me, right? He that follows me, so Jesus Christ is the great shepherd, and we follow behind him, right? Because he's shepherding our soul, and he's gone before us, and we're following him, right? We're following him, right? Disciples of the Lord. So he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. What's that mean? You don't walk like you don't know. You walk like you know, right? Because you're following him. Just like the disciples were standing right in front of Jesus, and he said, you know the way, and you know where I'm going. Because the way is standing in front of you, and where I'm going is also standing in front of you, because if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. So you know both. You know where I'm going, which is to my Father, because you've seen me, and you know the way, because I am the way, right? So he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. When he says, you shall not walk in it, there's no need, there's nothing driving you to obligate you to do it. Nothing. It's almost like you just come to the conclusion that if you ever walk in darkness, you're doing it because you feel like doing it. Right? Because there would be no other reason to do it other than really, and here's really where the clincher of it is, it's just walking as someone who doesn't know. Can we clarify something? When a situation comes to you and the answer to the situation is not right there on your mind, we conclude we don't know what to do, right? Something happens and you don't know how to react, so you don't know what to do. And that's a farce. That's not true. You know what to do because you have the mind of Christ in you. But the thing is, you say you don't know because you want to do something, right? And in reality, I shouldn't say that you want to do something. You just want the situation solved, right? So you feel like if you did something, and that is true, right? If something was done with your body, something could be done to help that situation, right? And you have a desire for something to be done. The only thing that you're missing is, right, don't you try to do it, but let him do it. Let him be the one to work that fruitfulness through you. So what is it that we're missing, right? Wisdom. Wisdom. You ever hear somebody say that when you don't know what to do, well, you know, God gives you wisdom. But the thing is, it's not that he gives you wisdom, it's that he already gave you wisdom. Right? Christ is to you wisdom. And if you have Christ, you already have wisdom. It's not like, you know, it's about wisdom too, you know. It's not just all about this, but it's wisdom too. But it's not that. It's that you already have the wisdom. So all that you need to do is just be still. Still yourself, right? And just don't, you know, something that has come up to my mind, I thank God that he brought it up again, is the thing that he was teaching us, that a disciple is slow to impulse. Slow to impulse. And he's going to teach us a word in a second. You know what it's called? Circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. And you know what circumspectly means? Circumspectly means is to walk in a paraphrase way. Walk carefully. In other words, don't walk impulsively. In other words, but be still and know. When the Lord says, be still and know that I'm God, that's what we ought to do as a disciple before you do anything. Before you act, be still and then act out of the wisdom of God that's within you. In other words, all you're saying is, Lord, I don't know what to do here. Father, it's not right there. It's not on the tip of my mind. I'm not sure right now, but thank you, Lord, that you are my wisdom and that you know, Father, what there is to do. So God is asking you to feed a multitude and you don't have no money, and you know that there's nobody around you that has all that money. Just don't respond as though God is actually really telling you to do it. He just wants to do it through you, and he'll put the bread in your hand for it to be multiplied unto them. He's just not asking you to do it. He's asking you, you're going to be part of it, and you are light, therefore you ought to manifest God. He's just not asking you to do it yourself by your power. He wants to do it through you. So the correct answer is, Lord, you know. Lord, you are the vine. I am the branch. That, you know, you could answer that. John 15 is an awesome thing to answer and to know in your heart, Lord, I am the vine. You are the branch, Lord. You do whatever you want. You do whatever you want, right? You do whatever you want. So where he says here, he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So light is what makes manifest. And Christ, who is the light, is the one that, he says, whoever I choose to manifest myself to. That's us that he's chosen, right? To manifest himself to, because we're his and he is ours. So he manifests himself to us. And that revelation of who he is where our life is. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And this life that I now live, where does it come from? Light. This life that I now live, where does it come from? Light. Why? Revelation. Why? Because it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So how does Christ live in you? Through light. Why? Because what is he kind of in that verse in Galatians 2 telling you your part is? I live it by faith in the Son of God. I live it by check mark, right? Faith in the Son of God. So that faith in the Son of God is all he's calling us to. The rest, he said he'll do right through you. Every prophet that lived from the day he was called to be a prophet until the day that he died a prophet, everything that he did had to be done by God, or else he's not doing the job of a prophet. A prophet can't speak of his own. A prophet can only speak what God tells him to speak, right? Men can do that without even having the Spirit of God in them. How much more do we have already been given to us? And not just the gift of prophecy, but we come short of no gift. We come short of absolutely no gift. There is nothing that you come short of that you don't have the supply of the Spirit on the inside of you to be able to handle what's happening in your life. The supply of the Spirit is there every single time to do what you need. So he says then, let's jump over to verse number 12. Ephesians 5 and verse number 12. Ephesians 5 and verse number 12. He says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, speaking about works of darkness. But all things that are reproved, right, or corrected, are made manifest by light. So that's what he's saying. When the Lord corrects something, that which is incorrect or of darkness is clearly seen. So you clearly see what God just corrected, right? He corrected something, thinking, you're like, wow, what was I even thinking? Right, exactly, right? You were thinking something different and he gave you the right, the truth of it, and it's clearly seen. Clearly seen. So it says, for whatever doth make manifest, right, or whatever does make manifest is light. So there's the definition of light, right? Whatever makes manifest is light. So if he calls you light, he's telling you that you're the one that makes manifest, right? Through you, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. So look at 14 now. And so it's cool, all these different terms and all these things that he teaches about light and darkness is blindness, and blindness is foolishness, and foolishness is unwise. And light, right, is knowing, given to you to know you're the light. So you're wise. So he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, right? And you know what that's talking about? Death. And that's why he says, awake thou that sleepest, it says, and arise from the dead. So to be asleep and to be dead are both in the same thing. He's arise you that sleep, right? He says, wake, awake from the sleep, arise from the dead. In other words, sleeping is death, right? So he says, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and what'll happen? Christ will give you light, he says. Christ will give you light. How were you born again? The same way that creation happened, right? Light came and then life followed. Light came and then light followed in our life, right? Light came, right? We received revelation of who Christ is, and life followed after that, right? And fruitfulness is not short behind that. So he says, arise, awake thou that sleep, so that is in darkness, or that is death, because, so he just keeps solidifying. You see how that keeps happening over and over again? He keeps tying all those terms together. Sleep, darkness, death, blindness, fool, and he's gonna keep going. He's gonna keep going with sleep, death, darkness, blindness, foolishness, unwise. He's gonna keep tying them over and over again. So you keep seeing the correlation between all those things. So you see all the opposite of what you are not, right? You're not foolish, so when the Bible talks about a fool, it's not you. The Bible talks about a fool, it's not you. You can make decisions that are foolishness, but you're not a fool because you're wise and you know it's been given to you to know. Right? So he says in verse number 15, see then, since you are not the one that's asleep, and since you are not the one that's dead, and since you are the one that has received light, because he just said it a couple of verses before, you are light in the Lord, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly. See then, it says that you walk circumspectly, not as what? Fools. What is, he didn't say fool, he said darkness before, not fool. He said walk before, he said walk as children of light. Now he's telling you, he says, don't walk as a fool. So what is a fool? A fool is an unwise person. A fool is one that is blind. A fool is one who walks in darkness, right? One who walks in darkness. So when the Bible talks about the man who was hoarding everything that he had in his barn, and then that day he died, and the Lord called him a fool. He says, oh, foolish man. He said, didn't you know that you would die today, and now what you've hoarded, right, is going to go to another. But why is he a fool? It's not because hoarders are fools. Right? It's because he's unwise, because his knowledge was not of Christ. Therefore, not knowing that Christ would supply all his needs caused him to be a hoarder, right? But his issue that God is dealing with there is not hoarding. It's not a teaching against hoarding, it's a teaching against people that are foolish that don't know him. And because of that, there's many effects in the life of a person. But when God uses examples of people, he's not drawing out that particular sin. Right? What he's drawing out is the fact that they don't know him, right? The fact that they don't know him. So he says, see then that you walk circumspectly. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So you know how you can translate that? See then that you walk circumspectly, not in the dark, but in the light. Not in the dark, but in the light. Not as fools, but as wise. Not as someone. And so here's how else you can translate that. Wherefore it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as someone who doesn't know, but as someone who does know. Not as someone who doesn't know, but as someone who does know. What would it do in your life? What would it do in your life if every situation that you came across, you said, Father, I know. I know. It may not be here, but it's already been given to me to know. Right? It's already been given to me to know. And you lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, every single cotton picking circumstance in your life, in all of your ways, instead of trying, being impulsive and doing something, in all of your ways, you acknowledge Him, the good in you. Which is by where fruit comes, right? The goodness and righteousness, right? So he says, acknowledging, right? In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. In other words, he'll show you what needs to be done. And not only will he show you what needs to be done, he'll show you and he'll do it through you. And then you'll find yourself feeding the multitude, and you didn't produce the bread. You'll find yourself feeding the multitude, which is what the Lord told you to do. It's just that you didn't make the bread, you didn't buy the bread, you didn't go get the bread, you just got bread, you got bread for yourself, because they ate too, right? The disciples ate, it wasn't just the multitude that ate. They were just as hungry as they were. They weren't over, you know, munching on bread while the multitude is starving. Nobody had food there. Nobody had any food. When they were gonna get food, they didn't get their own lunch. They got the lunch of a little boy, right? So nobody had food. And the little boy didn't even eat his own stuff. He probably didn't want anybody else to take it. But the idea is that you see how it works? They were hungry, and what did they do? They came to him, and they received, and they were fruitful as well. So they received for themselves and had an abundance left over. Who did that? The fruitfulness of the Spirit of God did it through them. Yet the Lord started it by saying, Philip, are you gonna feed them? Right? Philip, are you going to feed them? And the only answer needed to be is, Lord, I can't feed them, Lord, but you can feed them. Right? You could do it through me. You can do it through me. I can't do it, Lord, but you can do it through me. Right? He'll put the bread in your hand. Right? He gives seed to the sower. right? And bread to the hungry. He gives you bread for the eater and seed for the sowing, right? He gives it all to you. He gives it for you and then for much left over. So when Pastor Mike was praying up here, he was talking about that if in our lives we desire to be more influential, we desire to be the kind of people that are influencing things around us, right? But in reality, what we're really saying is, Lord, we want you to be influential through us. Because the kind of results that we want, we can't produce, right? So we want him to be influential through us. That's good. All of that desire comes from God. It's just, can I tell you something? It's really an awesome warning that he's saying here. And not just like a warning necessarily in a bad way, but an admonition to encourage us. Look at what he says. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools or as somebody that doesn't know or in darkness, but as wise, as someone who knows and has light, redeeming the time because the days are evil. To redeem is to buy back. To redeem, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What God is saying, there is much that needs to be done. The Lord is saying, I want to and have to do lots in this earth. Right? In order to do that, you have to walk circumspectly. You can't do things impulsively and take it upon your own hands to just do things by yourself in the flesh, because that's unfruitful works of darkness. We've been there before and done that and it doesn't work. Unfruitful works of darkness, you know what they are? Unfruitful. They're works of darkness, but they're unfruitful. That means that you'll do something, but it won't go anywhere. You see that? There'll be a lot of action, but it will never go anywhere. Right? It'll not go anywhere. It'll not do what God wants to do. So all that he's saying is you let me do it. Let me work it. And that's fruitful works of light. If we're not to partake of unfruitful works of darkness, then we're to partake in or become partakers in, and that's what Peter talks about, right? To partake of his divine nature. To partake of his divine nature. And as we partake of his divine nature, you're going to see that that's exactly... So that's how redeeming the time, because the days are evil, there is much darkness in the world, and he has called us to be on top of the mantle. He has called us to be upon the lampstand, right? And he's called us to be the church, to be on top of the lampstand, the light to be on top of the lampstand, so he can shine forth into the world. That's the desire of God. I mean, it's no secret. He wants to shine into the world, right? He wants it to be done. It just can't be done by minds that don't know. It has to be done by people who know that they have it. And you can go out, listen, you can go out and know that you may not have it present. You're not going to have every single answer of every situation that comes your way right there present in your mind. But you have to be certain that you know that the minute it comes to you, you have the Spirit of the living God in you who will bring it up to your mind and will speak to you in words that you will understand and you will know. He's going to speak it to you. He's not going to whisper it to you. It's not going to be so faint that you can't hardly hear it. You're going to know. You'll know it. You'll know it like the day you were saved, you knew it. Right? That wasn't a still small voice. That you're like, well, are you sure, Lord? I don't even know if that's the Lord. Like, you just did it. You just did it. You knew. You did it. You knew. And some of us don't even remember how that even happened. But you did it and you knew. You did it and you knew. And you weren't very unsure. You just did it. You knew. That there are people that when you pray with them, they're perfectly fine. Nothing's wrong with them. And you begin to pray with them. And they respond, and it's not always about bodily response, but they respond in such a way, right? Weeping and crying, accepting the Lord. Why? Because they've known for a long time. They didn't just find out today. They've known for, the Lord's been dealing with them and showing himself to them and speaking to him through many people, right? And finally they heard, and they made a decision because they saw and they made a decision. That may not be necessarily the day that they were saved, but they made a decision that day. And for some, maybe it was the day that they were saved, right? So you know what? I think right there, coming down to verse 17, and wrap it up right there. It says, wherefore it says, be ye not unwise. In other words, don't be dark. Don't walk like somebody who doesn't know. Don't be a fool, which is just a way to say, does not know, unwise. Right? He's tying them all together. He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God is telling you, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, because you can. It's already been given to you, so you can't understand. You can understand fully the things that God wants to do in your life at precise moments in your life, right? You can know that, and he'll tell you. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, right? It's such a cool thing, right? We don't have to try and absorb ourselves in a world, right? To try to forget pain, right? To try to forget problems, to try to forget issues, right? It's not about us getting to a place in our life where, you know, people give themselves into food because they're comforted, right? And they're having issues in their life, but you know what? You don't have to take comfort in anything. You can look around and you can acknowledge and say, Lord, there is comfort for me in no place on this earth. But there is comfort for me, Lord, in you, and I have you, and delight yourself in him and take comfort in him.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringinginTheHarvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.